Today we're studying the book of Obadiah, very short book, only 21 verses long. We know next to nothing, well, I shouldn't say next to nothing, we know absolutely nothing about Obadiah, who is the author of this book. Now, there are several men named Obadiah in the Old Testament, but none of them can be equated with or identified with this individual, okay? What we do know about him is the meaning of his name, which means worshiper of Jehovah. Okay, so Obadiah was a worshiper of Jehovah. Now, as I said, this book is the shortest of all the books in the Old Testament. It has one theme and one theme only, and that is the judgment of God against Edom. It's important, since this book is written to Edom, that we know who Edom is. Now, the word Edom means literally red. And it was the name that was given to Esau, to Jacob's twin brother Esau. So Esau is Edom. And so the Edomites are the descendants of Esau. Now, let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 25, because we'll never understand the thrust of the book of Obadiah if we don't understand the backstory that is behind it. So Genesis chapter 25, you recall that Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac then had Jacob and Esau. So Genesis 25, beginning at verse 19, it says, Genesis 25, 19, and these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian, a Padan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her. There's your first indication right there. The kids are fighting already in the womb. Okay? So the children struggled within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So we see that these two children, these twin boys that are going to be born, are going to be progenitors of two nations. Verse 24, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. So Esau means red, okay? And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. There's another indication, going to be big problems. One's the favorite of mom, and the other's the favorite of dad. Verse 29, and Jacob boiled pottage, that is, he was making lentil soup. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint because he was hungry. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. So there you go. Esau is called Edom because he is sold his birthright for a bowl of red pottage. It was red beans, apparently. Kidney beans are like red, okay? You look at chili, it has a reddish cast to it. And so his name Esau means red, or Edom means red, and it was because he was red and because he sold his birthright for some red pottage. Okay? So he says, verse 31, and Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. I'll give you a bowl of soup for your birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do me? Jacob said, swear unto me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, arose up, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So you can see right from the get-go, there is going to be problems between these two boys. Well, Then you go to Genesis 27. Time passes. Time comes for Isaac to die, and he needs to give the blessing. Now, the birthright was you owned all the possessions of dad. Okay? The blessing was is that you stood in the line of dad in the receiving of the Abrahamic covenant, which was a much bigger deal than all the stuff he had. And if you remember Genesis 27, we're not going to read it all, Jacob stole Esau's birthright through deception. Dressed up in Esau's clothes, his dad was half blind, figured it was Esau and gave Jacob the blessing. Well, this made Esau furious. Notice verse 41 of Genesis 27. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob." So Esau hates Jacob and wants to kill him. Now, Jacob then went ahead and he ultimately was renamed Israel, and he was the father of Israel, and he had 12 sons, which are the 12 tribes of Israel. Esau also wound up ultimately having 12 sons, and they became the progenitor of the nation of Edom, or the Edomites. Okay, so literally the two boys became the heads of two nations. So the Edomites were Esau's descendants, and their country was the mountain range that was called Mount Seir, S-E-I-R. And this mountain range of Mount Seir was located south of the Dead Sea and east of the Dead Sea. So if you look at a map of Israel, like you see one in the back of your Bible there, you'll notice that we have the Sea of Galilee, and then the Jordan River goes down south, and it connects with the Dead Sea. And at the bottom of the Dead Sea, on the east side, there is the nation of Edom. Now, the people of Edom dwelt in caves which were carved into rocks. And in Mount Seir, it was very rocky. I actually printed off a picture here of Edom. And you can see how terribly rocky it is. And there's valleys amongst these really rocky hills. And they literally carved, it was kind of a soft sandstone, and they literally carved their homes right into the face of the cliffs. So they dwelt in the caves carved into rocks, and they descended down into the valleys to farm. Their capital was Petra. I would encourage you to go home and get on your computer and type in the word Petra and just look at the rock homes that were carved into the walls there. They're still there. Some of them quite elaborate. And so their capital was Petra, otherwise known as the Rock City. Petra literally means rock. And it was easy to defend and nearly impossible to attack. You couldn't surround these people. You could just kind of come to the front, and they were on the face and shooting arrows and stuff at you down. They put ladders up to get in, and they pulled the ladders up behind them, and it was just really, really tough to attack. So the Edomite people were like their father Esau in that they were profane and proud and fierce and cruel, and they sustained an eternal hatred for Jacob, otherwise known as Israel, and his descendants. And so they had this persistent, bitter, and spiteful hatred towards Israel, and that was manifested in their refusal to allow Israel to pass through Edomite territory during the Exodus. Turn to Numbers chapter 20. The book of Numbers chapter 20. And Israel is trying to travel to the eastern side of the Jordan. And to do that, they've got to go through the land of Edom. And so in Numbers chapter 20, verses 14 to 22, it says, "And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, notice thy brother Israel. So really all the Israelites are brethren of all the Edomites because their fathers, their progenitors, were literally twin brothers. And so verse 14, Moses sent messengers unto Kadesh, unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that has befallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, 400 years. And the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers, and when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel, and has brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border, that is in the edge of thy border of thy country. Now here's the request, verse 17. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go up by the king's highway. There was a major caravan highway that went through the land of Edom up towards Canaan. We will not turn to the right hand nor the left until we have passed thy borders. And Edom said to him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with a sword. And the children of Israel said to him, we will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then will I pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And Edom said, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people, with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border, or for Israel turned away from him. And so they had to go a very arduous, difficult route where there wasn't water, and the people really struggled because the Edomites said, go take a hike. So you can see that there was this enmity between the two boys and hatred and the desire of Esau to murder Jacob, and then that hostility was carried on down through the generations. And so when Israel came, Edom said, you know, we're not going to do anything for you. So in the times then of our prophet Obadiah, when Israel had been invaded and Jerusalem plundered, Edom was on hand to look on Israel's destruction with a gloating satisfaction. Edom was there to encourage the plunderers. And Edom eventually joined in with assaulting the Jews. So they're standing back, watching Babylon come and just wipe out Jerusalem. And they're going, yeah, right on, Babylon, get him, get him. And did nothing to help Israel. And in fact, once Babylon had largely taken what she wanted, then Edom went in and swooped up what was left. So they were just like a vulture sitting there. So when Israel was in captivity in Babylon, okay, now she's carried to Babylon, she especially remembered the venom and the wickedness of the Edomites. Turn to Psalm 137. Psalm 137, notice, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps on the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing unto us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's songs in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Now here it is, notice verse 7. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. In other words, knock it right down to the foundation stones. So here Israel's in captivity. She's looking back on the role that Edom played when Babylon destroyed Jerusalem, and they were the cheerleaders. Tear it down, destroy it. Flatten it to the ground. Now, their conduct, Edom's conduct, during the fall of Jerusalem is what is noted in the book of Obadiah. And Obadiah especially comes down hard on Edom because of all the nations around Israel that should have supported Israel and defended Israel, or at least had pity and compassion on Israel. It should have been Edom, Israel's brother. But she didn't. So this conduct during the fall of Jerusalem is especially noted in Obadiah. And basically, let's turn now to Obadiah, if you would, please. And notice, if you will, verse 15. Obadiah 15. Obadiah says to Edom, "For the day of the Lord is near upon the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thy own head." In other words, Edom, you're going to reap what you have sown. So Edom practiced treachery against Israel. Edom's allies are going to be treacherous against her. Edom robbed Judah. Edom's going to be robbed. Edom used violence against Judah. She will perish by slaughter and violence herself. Edom sought the utter destruction of Judah. She shall be destroyed. Edom, who invaded Israel, will ultimately have Israel take over her land, and it will become the children of Israel's. So basically, as we read the book of Obadiah, it's all about Edom reaping what she had previously sown. So Edom was eventually conquered by Nebuchadnezzar a few years after Jerusalem fell. So Edom's sitting there saying to Babylon, yeah, wipe out Israel, wipe out Israel. And 5 years later, Nebuchadnezzar comes and wipes them out. And they literally reaped what they sowed. And everything that they did to Israel was then done to them. Now, this is spoken of in Jeremiah 37, verses 3 to 6, and in Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. And we won't take the time to look at those passages because we're running out of time. But what happened is the Edomites were defeated by Babylon and largely wiped out. They then regrouped in a small group, and they suffered tremendous defeats through the succeeding centuries. Judas Maccabeus, remember when I talked about the book of 1 Maccabees, which gives the history of the intertestamental period. He went and just clobbered the Edomites very badly, to the point that Edom was just destroyed, and the few Edomites that were left actually became part of the nation of Israel. And and what happened, though, is that they were a cunning people, and they formed political alliances. And this is where the Herods came from. The Herod the Great and Herod Antipas, they were Edomites. You read in the New Testament about them being Idumeans. That's an Edomite, okay? So here you have Herod doing what? Killing all the children in Bethlehem from 2 years old and under in an effort to do what? Wipe out the son of Jacob, who was Jesus. Okay. Now, with the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD, the last of the Edomites were wiped out. So Edom as a nation, Edom as a people, Edom in their language, Edom in their culture, kaput, gone forever. And so Origen, around 200 AD, stated that they had been completely extinguished and no longer existed as any kind of an identifiable people group or lineage. So the last gasp of the Edomites against the Israelites was them ruling in the person of Herod the Great and Herod Antipas over the Jews. And that's why the Jews hated the Herods and the Herods hated the Jews. And that's why Herod was happy to slaughter the babies in Bethlehem. And he would have killed Jesus if he could have. All right, let's look at our outline. The outline of Obadiah. There's three major sections in this book. First of all, the certainty of Edom's utter destruction by the Lord in verses 1 to 9. The certainty of Edom's utter destruction by the Lord. So it's certain that Edom is going to be utterly destroyed by the Lord. Understand that. They're not going to just be defeated. They're going to be completely extinguished. That's the promise. Now, verse 1, the heathen will conspire against Edom. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom, we have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen, which says to all the heathen, arise ye and let us rise up against her, that is, against Edom in battle. So this message comes that there's a ambassador going around to the heathen nations, getting them together into a confederacy to go attack Edom. Verse 1. Verse 2. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The heathen will despise Edom. Verse 3. The pride of thine heart has deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the cleft of the rock, whose habitation is high, that says in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, thou shalt set thy nest, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. So they had this real cocky confidence in their rocky fortress dwellings, that they were impregnable and no one could defeat them. And they had resisted many assaults in the past because they were folks who went out and raided caravans and one thing and another. And anytime anybody tried to retaliate, they failed. So 3b, Edom's rocky fortresses will not save her from judgment. And, you know, as I showed you the picture, their rocky fortresses, right? They weren't going to deliver them this time. Okay. Now, verse 4b, which is verse 5 and 6. If thieves come to thee, if robbers by night, how thou art cut off. Would they not have stolen till they had enough? I mean, if somebody comes to rob your house, how much stuff do they take? They don't take it all. They just take a few valuable things and they're gone, right? It's the way it always happens. I mean, it's not like anybody ever comes home and finds their house just clean wall to wall. But that's what's going to happen to Edom. And so he says, if thieves come to thee, if robbers by night, would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came, would they not leave some grapes? Somebody came to steal your crop, they're going to, you know, leave some stuff behind. He says, how are the things of Esau searched out, verse 6? How are his hidden things sought up? In other words, they're going to take it all. So that's verses 5 and 6. Now verse 7, Edom will be betrayed by her former allies. All the men of thy confederacy, that is, you used to be confederate with Babylon against Israel, okay? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee again, even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and have prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. In other words, your former friends are now going to become your enemies, and they're going to take everything you've got. Okay, Edom's wives, her warriors, and her people will be slaughtered, verses 8 and 9. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy, notice, the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the Mount of Esau, and, verse 9, thy mighty men, there's the warriors, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that everyone in the Mount of Esau, that's the whole population, may be cut off by slaughter. So the wise men, the warriors, and the population all kaput, boom. All wiped out. So this is what God is promising Edom. Utter destruction in all your possessions and in all your people by the Lord through those who previously were confederate with you but now have turned on you. That's 1 to 9. Okay, 2a. The reason for Edom's utter destruction by the Lord. Verses 10 to 16. Well, notice it says, verse 10, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, all this stuff's going to come upon you. Here's why this is happening, Edom. It's because the way you treated the people of God. Remember Jesus on the day of judgment? You know, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you came to me. I was in prison and you visited me. The way you treat the people of God is the way you treat God. And those who treat the people of God badly, God treats badly. And those who treat the people of God well, God treats well. Okay? So that's exactly what's being said here. So the reason for Edom's utter destruction by the Lord, 1b, because of Edom's violence against Israel. Verse 10, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off. Second reason, because Edom's refusal to help when Israel was attacked. Verse 11, in the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that strangers carried away captive his forces and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. That is, you were standing on the opposite side of the battle watching. And in your watching and in your cheerleading and saying, you know, raise it to the ground, you were just like one of them. Okay? 3b, because of Edom's rejoicing over Israel's destruction. Verse 12. But thou shouldst not have looked on the day of thy brother, in the day that he became a stranger, neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Israel in the day of their destruction, neither shouldst thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. So Edom is not only watching the destruction of Jerusalem, she's rejoicing in it. 4b, because of Edom's pitiless treatment of Israel in the day of her disaster and the theft of her property. Verse 13, thou shouldst not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. After Babylon had sacked it, they came in behind. Yea, thou shouldst not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Notice the day of their calamity is mentioned three times in that one verse. So here's Israel just prostrate on the ground, and after Babylon has raped them, Edom comes along and rapes them again. So it's kind of like, you know, somebody gets beat up by some thugs and he's laying there in the alley and he's all just, you know, knocked out and bruised up. And somebody comes on and goes through his pockets a second time and finds something that the thugs left and then goes off and mocks the guy as he lays there. That's what Esau, Edom, did to Jacob, Israel. Okay, verse 14, on top of that, notice 5b, because of Edom's capture of fugitive Israelites and giving them back to her enemies. Neither shouldst thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape, neither shouldst thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. So when Edom saw the Jews escaping the Babylonians, they captured them, took them back to the Babylonians and said, here. And of course, Babylonians slaughtered them. So they assisted in the capture of fleeing Jews and turned them right back to those who were going to kill them. Verse 15, therefore Edom will reap what she has sown. Verse 15, for the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thy own head. So you're going to reap what you've sown. And the Bible establishes that principle over and over again. Verse 16, Edom drank to Israel's destruction. The nations will drink to Edom's. So here is Israel being destroyed and Edom's throwing a party. Okay? You know, it's kind of like after your team beats the other team and, you know, you have a party afterward and everybody drinks and parties. That's the idea. Okay? Verse 16. For as you have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. They shall drink and they shall swallow down and they shall be as though they had not been. And so the heathen are going to celebrate over your destruction in the same way you celebrated over Israel's. All right, so that's the reason for Edom's utter destruction by the Lord. Now we come to the third major section, the deliverance and ultimate triumph of Israel. Even though Israel had been defeated, Israel's going to recover. After Edom's defeated, Edom never recovers. Okay? Verse 17. Notice, Israel will be restored to her land. Verse 17, here's our memory verse. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. So, number one, at this point in time, Israel didn't possess their possessions. The Edomites and the Babylonians had them. Israel wasn't living in holiness. They were living in wicked sin, and that's why they were carried away, but they're going to return to holiness. And they shall be brought back to Mount Zion. Okay? They will possess their possessions. That is, they will live in the land that God has given to them. Notice 2b, Israel will destroy Edom, verse 18, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. In other words, Israel is going to burn Edom. And thy house shall kindle, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. And of course, that happened during the Maccabean period, when Judas Maccabeus just hammered the Edomites and destroyed them as any kind of an independent group whatsoever. Verse 19 to 21, Israel is going to now occupy the land of Edom. Edom came and occupied Israel. Well, now Israel is going to occupy Edom. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain, the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Shephard, shall possess the cities of the south, and saviors or deliverers shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. The kingdom wasn't going to be Esau's. It was going to be the Lord's and the Lord's people. So ultimately, Israel went back to the land. She grew strong. She spread. She took over more and more territory. And ultimately, under the Maccabees, they controlled all this land, all this terrain. And they ultimately destroyed the Edomites and occupied their land. So notice the second page on your outline. The theme, God's wrath against Edom for his hatred of his brother Israel. Why did God bring wrath on Edom? Because Edom hated God's people. And you know, in your life, there's people that hate you because you're a Christian. Well, pity them. They shall suffer the fate of Edom. Key verse, Obadiah 1:10. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. That summarizes the whole book, doesn't it? Right there. Now, the way you treat the people of God really, really matters. Okay? So when you think about how you treat other Christians, that's how God's going to treat you. So love your brethren. Don't be mean and nasty to them. God takes note. Love the people in your church. Love your fellow Christians. And don't assault them. Don't attack them verbally. Murder their reputations. God takes note. And so we need to have recognize we're brethren in the Lord, just like Esau and Jacob should have worked together as brothers and not had this hostility, especially of Esau toward Jacob. And so on the day of judgment, God is going to separate the sheep from the goats on the basis of how they treated the people of God or didn't treat the people of God. So that's the message of the book of Obadiah that matters to us. Those who assault you, God will deal with. Don't be one of the assaulters of the people of God. All right? That doesn't mean that you can't call out false teaching and false teachers and wicked behavior. But why are you doing that? Well, you're doing that in an effort to see those people repent and get right with God. And when you have true servants of God who bring you under conviction of sin and reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, well, don't turn around and start attacking them. Okay? All right, any questions or comments? Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for this little book that contains such a big message. And Lord, we pray that you might help us to never fall into the role of Edom, of attacking the church of God and the people of God. But Father, that we would be those who bless and help the people of God and the church of God, and stand with them when they are assaulted by enemies from without. Father, we just pray that we might be strong and united, and that you would deal with our enemies and that you would take them down. We'll be talking about them today in our morning sermon. Help us, Lord, to be preserved and ultimately triumph. We look forward to the day when your people are vindicated and your enemies and ours are crushed. In Jesus' name, amen.